That's exactly what the Heavenly Father has done. The Heavenly Father had a plan from the beginning. He was a creator. I believe that men are creators, and men have the ability to create things and then make whatever they create work for the best and for the good. And that's exactly what God has done. God has had a plan from the very beginning. He had a plan from the very beginning of your life. He had a plan. He'll have a plan for you when you pass on from this life. God has a perfect plan for you. It doesn't mean you're perfect in it, but He has a perfect plan for you. He also wants to share His heart with you. And the plan, of course, is that He would create this universe. He would create you and I to be in this universe. And then He would give us a free will to either obey Him or not obey Him. And all of us have a free will. I didn't do very well with mine when I was growing up. I was very rebellious and created a lot of problems for myself and so on. But the issue is that with my own children, I tried to train them up in the things of the Lord. Now, that's a father's responsibility, to train kids up in the ways of the Lord. So obviously, if you're going to do that, you have to know the Father in heaven. It's pretty hard to explain somebody you don't know. It's pretty hard to share about someone you do not know. And I pray everybody here would receive the Word of God today, that God would open your hearts to His Word. Now, when you study the Word of God, you find out something very interesting in the way that God works with His people. Now, the plan is that you are to receive Him as your personal Savior. You're to come to Him, enter into His plan, and what God wants to do after, I believe, a period of about 7,000 years, I think that's His plan. He started back in the time of Adam. We're very close to the 6,000 years now. And He's going to come pretty shortly and personally put His plan into effect here on this earth. Now, since God is going to do this, and He's God, and we're men and women, obviously He's in charge. So it's going to be done His way. So it's very, very important we understand His ways if we're going to have the best for us, not only in this life, but also in eternity. Now, we talk about all the time, this life is temporary. Don't get too attached to it. It's temporary. This world as we know it today is temporary. It's just a step onto the future, hopefully with the Lord. Now, the Lord has told man, and when I say man, I mean men, women, children, whatever, from day one what His plan is. He told Adam, He told Abraham, He told David, He told the Apostle Paul, He told the disciples, He told all the people up to you and I, told Billy Graham, He's told all of these people what His plan is. And so our part is to respond to the plan of God. But in order to respond to the plan of God, we have to understand how this works. And God does it pretty simply. But anyway, the end result is God wants a family. But He just doesn't want a family that will just do anything they want to do. He wants a family that loves Him. He loves us, but He wants a family that loves Him. He just doesn't want anybody in heaven. He only wants those that respond to His Word and love Him. So there's going to be a time when God wraps the whole thing up and is going to come up with something new. He is going to take a group of people, probably three billion people, and He's going to take them into heaven with Him out into eternity, and we will be with God forever. And the rest of the group who did not respond to the plan of God, did not care anything about the plan of God, doesn't care about living for God, well, he has a place for them. And unfortunately, it's a place without God, and so it's a horrible place. So, how in the world do we understand God? Well, we understand it by what is called covenant. And if you look in your phone book under churches, you'll find out there's covenant churches. They're named covenant. First Covenant Church. There's Broadway Covenant Church here in Rockford. There's other covenant churches. And why are they named covenant in their name? Is very simply because it's in the Word of God. It's God's plan. They're trying to tell everybody, I guess, that they know the plan of God. But anyway, God loves us enough to tell us how He works. He loves us enough to tell us how to live this life and live it successfully. He also loves us enough to tell us how to be with Him forever. So it's not a mystery if you get into the Word of God. Now, covenant is the very basis on the way that God works. He made a covenant with Adam and Eve. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. He even made a covenant with His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Really interesting. And He makes a covenant with you and I. And so if you study, and we're not going to do this in detail, but if you study the covenants in the Bible, you will learn about God. You will learn how He works. You can learn how to be pleasing to Him. You can learn how to live in a way that's going to be prosperous for you. And you also will learn, obviously, how to go to heaven. So, a covenant is an agreement between two people. And so God makes agreements with His people. He says, if you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do this, I won't do this. He makes agreements with His people. It's very interesting. He didn't particularly make an agreement with the angels, but He made an agreement with you and I. He has an agreement if we make a decision to get involved in what He's doing. Now, the difference between a covenant and a contract you would make with somebody, if I contracted somebody to build a house, there's going to be a time when that contract's over. When the house is built, the contract's done. That's a contract. But a covenant is different. It does not have an ending date. There's no end to it. It has a beginning, but it doesn't have an end. That's the difference between a covenant. And when God makes an agreement with somebody or makes a covenant with somebody, it never ends. Now, it's extremely important to understand that, or you're not understand how God works, you're not understand the Bible, or any of these things. Now, so God's our Heavenly Father, and He also has a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then also involved is the Holy Spirit, as we know. Now, so God has been constantly making covenants throughout the history of man. Because that's the way He operates. He's going to have a different covenant. He's going to have a covenant for the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. He'll have a covenant with those people. Now, a covenant does not end until somebody dies. Somebody has to die for the covenant to end. Now, the beauty about the covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll never die. I said He'll never die. You see, there's no end to the covenant because the one that we have an agreement with will never die. Now the interesting thing about this is, because we have a covenant with a God who never dies, guess what happens to us? We never die. Oh, the body dies, but that's not you. You are spirit. You have a name, but you are spirit. You are not your body. A body is a temporary thing, obviously. All you have to do is read the obituaries. The body is temporary. But you are not, because God made us like Him, and since He made us like Him, we will be like Him. We'll never die, but we will end up in one or two places. That's the issue. Now, you could read a million books, but you never get the information you need until you read the Bible. The Bible will tell you about the end. I can tell you exactly, if we had time today, and I'm not going to take it, but I could tell you exactly how everything's going to end up. I could even tell you where you're going to end up because of the Word of God. Now, I think this is important. Do I hear an amen? You see, I think this is the most important thing anybody could ever possibly even think about or know about in their entire lifetime on this earth. Because if you don't understand this, you don't understand life. If you don't understand what I'm teaching today, you'll not understand why you're here. And many people live like they have no reason, they have no understanding of why they're here on this earth. Are we here to please ourselves? No. Are we here to please God? Yes. Does God love us and want the best for us? Yes, He does. But so, therefore, He puts all the information we need in this book called the Bible. And then He makes an agreement with us. It's called a covenant. Now, a covenant has no end unless there's the death of the ones that make the covenant. And so it's not like a legal contract or a legal agreement of some kind, because they always have an ending. Now, God makes a covenant with a nation, or He makes a covenant with a group of people, or He makes a covenant with an individual. And there's all these different covenants in the Bible. Now, just for instance, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 probably is the very first covenant that we have in the Bible. So I want you to see this, because you need to know the information. Unfortunately, you not get this information in school, unless you go to a Bible school where they teach it. But God is involved here, and He's going to make a covenant with Adam in Genesis 3 and verse 15. He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." So, right there is the very first covenant in the Bible. That covenant was made not only with Adam, but it was made with the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is prophecy concerning Jesus. He said, and He's talking about the seed. The seed here is the seed of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed of the woman is Satan in this case. And it says here that Jesus Christ is going to bruise the head of Satan, and Satan is going to bruise the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He did on the cross. So that's one of the very first covenants in the Bible. And that covenant explains what's going to happen to our enemy called Satan, and what's going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right there in that verse. It's one of the first announcements that God is going to send His Son into the world to make a difference in this world. Now, that's just one of them. Now, let's look at Abraham, and go to Genesis 12, and most people know this one, but this He made with a man who was going to become, out of him was going to come the nations of the world. And so he made a covenant with him. And chapter 12, verse 1. God is talking to Abraham. Now I want you to know something very interesting. Abraham lived in Iraq. Very interesting. That's where he was when God talked to him. He was worshiping the same God that the Muslims worship today, which was the moon god. His father was a priest in the temple of the moon god. And God speaks to Abraham just sovereignly, just because he loved man, just because he wanted to talk to man. He speaks to Abraham and he tells him, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Now that was the test of the covenant. Abraham, if you'll leave where you're at and go where I tell you to go, here's what I'm going to do for you. Now this was an agreement, a covenant between God and Abraham. And here's what he said. I will make of you a great nation. He was talking about the nation of Israel. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. So Abraham departed. And I will bless them that curse you. Bless him that blesses you. Curse him that curses you. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, God has done everything with Abraham he said he's going to do, and he's not through yet. Abraham died way back, but God made out of him a great nation. That was the nation of Israel. At one time under Solomon, Israel was the greatest nation on this earth, the richest nation on this earth, and was a blessing to the earth. Well, they blew it, and so God's going to have to wait until Jesus comes again. Then Israel, once again, is going to be the number one nation on this earth. He also said something very interesting. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Now, that's why everyone that attacks Israel is going to be cursed in some way or another by God. Very interesting. But it was because of an agreement made thousands of years ago, this covenant made by God to a man named Abraham. That covenant will go on forever. Israel is going to be a great nation whether you could possibly imagine that or not. And so he made several covenants with him. But now we can get something from this for ourselves, and that from this covenant, and that is, if you obey God, you're going to be blessed. If you curse God, you're going to be what?
Cursed.
If you curse God, you're going to be what? Absolutely correct. You learned something right there. Now, fathers, you have something to teach your children. You obey God, you're going to be blessed. You disobey God, you're going to be cursed. If you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. And if you curse Israel, you're going to be cursed. So, every nation that's ever come against Israel back in history has been either destroyed or totally defeated. Every single one of them that ever attacked Israel, because God made this covenant with Abraham back in Genesis 12. And it's still in effect. It's still going on. And what I'd say is, this nation in the United States better be good to Israel. And we have been. We have been. One of the reasons that the United States is still strong is because we obeyed this covenant, whether we knew it or not, that we would bless and protect Israel, and we did. You may not know this, it's very interesting, but we had, you know this I'm sure, we had a president named Nixon. And whatever you think about Nixon, there's probably something you don't know about him. He did something in obedience to God. And the reason he did it was that his mother told him that when he was young, that he was going to be a blessing to Israel in his lifetime. When he was young. She had no idea how he was going to do it. She didn't know how it was going to be possible he was going to do it. She just told him. It was a word of prophecy to that young boy named Nixon. And so he became president, and as you know, had a lot of problems, to say the least. But an interesting thing happened. I think it was in 1967, if I have I think the date is right. But anyway, Israel was being attacked on every side. They were outgunned, outmanned. They didn't have a chance in, as we would say, as a snowball in Hades. Everybody's predicted that's the end of Israel. Well, Israel had a leader named Golda Meir. She was a woman, if you'll remember. And Golda Meir called up Nixon in the middle of the night on the red phone or whatever they have there in the White House. She called him up in the middle of the night and said, "Unless you help us, we are lost." And he remembered what his mother told him. And he called up the Pentagon or whoever it was and said, "Give Israel anything they need." And within 24 hours, we had sent tanks and planes and everything, ammunition, everything you can imagine to Israel. It turned the tide of that war and saved the nation of Israel. Now, isn't that interesting? God had a plan. I think that's the only reason that Nixon was elected president, was for that middle-of-the-night phone call from Israel to him to save that nation. And that's what he did. Now, I'm telling you these things because God is at work. God has a purpose for your life. You may get a call in your life to help somebody or to do something that calls from God, and you need to make a decision to do it or not do it. But the issue is, the point of the whole thing was that this all came out of this covenant with this one man whose name was Abraham. Now, there's a lot of other covenants. Now, I'm not going to get into all of them because we don't have time to do that. But there's three main covenants in the Bible that God says are holy. Three covenants that are holy. Doesn't mean the others aren't, but he just makes a big deal out of these three. Number one, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. They were given the law. They were given the Ten Commandments. A whole bunch of other things God gave them on Mount Sinai. I gave to Moses, if you'll remember. And that started that old covenant, the Old Testament covenant. We call it Testament. Testament and covenant are the same thing. So the Bible really has the old covenant and the new covenant. And so God made a promise to Moses and so forth. I want you to look in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 24. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 24. You always bring your Bible. If you want to know about God, bring your Bible. Let's get into the Word of God. And let's study what God says, because God's the one we're going to answer to at the end. Now, Galatians 4:24. This Galatians book is very interesting. But anyway, we'll get into this. Yes. Now, he's talking about there are two covenants in the Bible that are extremely important. One's the law and one's by grace, which are an allegory, it says, of these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai with Moses, bearing children for bondage, who's Hagar, and this Hagar in Mount Sinai in Arabia, answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and his bondage with her children, and so on. So it's talking about there two covenants. One was from Sinai, the law, and one was through the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant, by grace. Now, that old law has never stopped. That's still going on. The old covenant's still going on. But God made a new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, understand this. Those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is in the new covenant. Those that do not know Jesus Christ are in the old covenant. And what that means is, those without Christ, when they stand before Jesus, as we all will, they're going to stand on how well they fulfilled the law. And the Bible tells us very clearly that no one can fulfill the law. There was only one, and his name was?
Jesus.
His name was?
Jesus.
Correct. He's the only one that ever perfectly fulfilled the old law. And because he did, God made a covenant with and through Jesus Christ by grace that we're going to depend on the perfection of Jesus and not on our trying to fulfill the old law, which we can't fulfill. That was the issue. So, in the end, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you're either going to stand there and say, well, Lord, yeah, I did pretty good. I maybe about 50-50. I probably 50% filled the law and 50% didn't. Or you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, I'm standing on the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Guess which one's going to work? That's exactly correct. The second law. So if you do not know Christ, you die not knowing Christ, you're under the old covenant, and the only way you could fulfill the old covenant was to fill it perfectly. Perfectly. We're under the heavenly Jerusalem, the promise of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, or else you're on the earthly Jerusalem and the promise of the law, which compels us to fulfill it 100%. So, I don't know about you, I like the second covenant a whole lot better. You see, because I know I can't fulfill the law. I know I can't do it perfectly. I might get some of it right. I might not get the other part right. Now, that is the reason that everyone that tries to come to God through any other religion that does not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, that does not believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, the way to heaven, is not going to go there. Are you listening to me? They're not going to go there. Now, it's very interesting that the third covenant that God says is holy, incidentally, is the marriage covenant. Every one of these covenants were signed by blood. They're what is called the blood covenant. The Bible is a book of the blood covenant. A blood covenant is a covenant. There's all kinds of covenants. There's agreements, contracts, covenants. There's something in the Bible called the salt covenant. There's all other kinds of covenants. But the issue is that only the blood covenants last forever. The sign of the blood covenant of the Old Testament was circumcision. The sign of the covenant for the New Testament was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross at Calvary. Now that is why we sing songs about the blood. Now, in fact, the further back you go in history in the church, you'll find they sang more songs about the blood of Christ. And today in churches, now listen to me, very few churches today sing songs about the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the sign of the new covenant. And that's why, maybe not every Sunday, but quite often we sing songs about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the new songs. I like the choruses. I like all these, the modern songs, most of them. But the issue is that the blood covenant is the song that we need to be singing in the church of Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
You see. And every time we sing a song like that, it's a sign of the covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the marriage covenant has a blood covenant to it. And that is the intimacy between a man and a woman. It's a blood covenant. It's very interesting. Now, this is no reflection on anybody's divorced, has been divorced, will be divorced, or anything else. There's forgiveness in all of this. But the forgiveness is where? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the issue is that a marriage covenant, which people don't even want to enter into today, but the issue is a marriage covenant is a covenant that is supposed to last until the death of somebody in that covenant. And actually, the Old Testament was totally fulfilled at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he rose from the dead to give us the new covenant, which is the covenant we have now, which we call the New Testament. Now, a couple of things I want to talk about, and that's about the new covenant. I just want to give you some ideas. What's our responsibility in the new covenant? Jesus has already done his part. He died on the cross. What's our responsibility? Because it's between two parties. There's responsibility on both sides. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to learn the New Testament, find out what he wants us to do, hear from him, and let me tell you something about salvation. Salvation is not a one-time event. Some people get this idea that salvation is a one-time event. But I'm going to tell you something. It is and it isn't. You get saved instantly, but you receive salvation the rest of your life. Are you listening to me? Now, what God wants us to do is to desire to follow his will, follow his purpose, and so forth. Now, the only thing you get one time is the promise of everlasting life. But the issue is, I'm going to tell you this right now, if you don't follow Jesus Christ, in my opinion, you don't have a covenant with him. Are you listening? This stuff about somebody coming down the aisle praying one time and then living for the devil, I can tell you where they're going. It's not heaven. We have an obligation on our part, and it's the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But salvation is a beginning process which goes through the rest of your life on into eternity. And if you're not following God now, I don't think it's going to be a lifetime commitment. It's a lifetime commitment, not a one-time statement. How many knows if somebody went and got married, and they got married in the church and had a big ceremony, and it was just wonderful. They said their vows and everything else, and then they have the reception, and then after the reception, the groom says, "Well, that was wonderful. I just enjoyed that ceremony so much, and it was just so great, and I appreciate what you had to say. But now I'm just going to go live my life." How many think that's a marriage? Exactly correct. How many know fatherhood's not a one-time event? See what I'm saying? It's an ongoing thing. It goes from the time the kids are small and till they grow up, they're in school and they go out and live their own life, but you're still a father, you're still a counselor, you still should have an influence, and you still should be talking about Jesus to them. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing in the world is be able to talk to your own children about Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? That's the greatest thing in the world. Just have a conversation. Sit down at a table and talk about Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. I don't know about you, I'd rather talk about Jesus than anything else. Are you listening? The way it's supposed to work, you get closer and closer and closer and closer to God, and the things of the world start falling away and falling away and falling away and falling away. And by the time you get to the end of your life, you step into heaven and you're ready to go. You are ready to hit the ground running right there in heaven. Hallelujah. You see. And that's the way it is. And that's the way it ought to be with marriage. You ought to be getting closer together and closer together and closer together and closer together. You see. I always talk about these people, you know, say, "Well, you know, we used to be close and we used to do things together." There's a lot of people doing that, sitting in bars and say, "Well, I used to be in church." It's a lifetime journey. It's not a one-time statement. It's not a one-time commitment. It's forever. We're not under the law, but we're under love. One of the ways you know you're saved, God said, "I'm going to write my law in your heart. I'm going to put my law so strong in you that when you do anything else, you're going to know it." Are you listening to me? You see. And so, it's a deal where you go closer to God, not further away from God. Is the longer you're saved, you get closer to God. And you get to the point where you don't want to be anyplace else. And you can't hardly talk about anything else. You just want to talk about Jesus. And you get so you don't want to watch anything else on television but somebody talking about Jesus. And that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be getting strong. That's how you know you're saved. I've heard more people tell me that I kid you not. They don't have a covenant with God. They just had a little party one time with God, and that was it. So it should be getting stronger with the Lord. Do I hear an amen? Well, that's the way it is with God the Father. He wants to get closer and closer and closer. And pretty soon, He says, "I want you to come to my house." He said, "We've been way too far apart all too long now. I want you to come to my house, and I want you to live in my house forever." Isn't that great? Amen. That was God's plan in the first place. He said, "I want you to come to my house." There used to be a song about that, somebody coming to my house. Yeah. Some of the older folks remember that one. But anyway, God says, okay, we've had our time on the earth, we've had our time, and you've learned all this stuff, and you've learned the Word of God. Now come on to my house, and we're just going to talk about, we're going to talk about the Bible forever. That's what he said. That's a real father. The Father in heaven says, I just don't want you for 50, 60, 70 years. I want you to forever. Let's stand before the Lord. If you're here and maybe you made a commitment to God way back so-and-so, but you haven't really been committed to Him lately, and you haven't been committed to Him after that point, and you're really not following God, and you're just being honest. I'm not picking on anybody, or I'm not even judging anybody. It's not my business. But it's God's business. And if you know Him, and you haven't been following Him, then you better make sure that you're a Christian. Because it's going to make